This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
God's design for his church is for followers of Jesus to join together through our faith in Jesus, and that joining is signified by a common experience that everybody inside the church has of being baptized in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, Belong to Him.
Thanks for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles once again to Acts chapter 8. We talk about the subject of believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is a command that God places upon everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Baptism is not a condition for justification. Faith alone, in Christ alone, is what brings us forgiveness of sins. But once we have faith in Christ and we have this new life in Him, this new life rises up and says, I want to give praise to God. I want to obey Jesus in everything, do everything He commands. And one of those first commands that God gives us as a follower of Jesus is to be baptized. Now, perhaps you followed Jesus for a long time and you've not been baptized, and perhaps you're even a little bit embarrassed now and you're reticent because it seems like it's embarrassing to be baptized after such a long time. Well, I believe this commandment of baptism will be a blessing to you as you submit yourself to the Lord. It'll be a blessing to your church family. It'll be a blessing to your own physical family. And so listen with open ears to apply the message that is given to us in Acts 8 to be baptized.
Baptism is a public means to testify to our story of God's salvation in our life. After believing in Jesus, the Ethiopian asked the question, what prevents me from being baptized? And again, it's this order. He believed in Jesus. He heard the gospel. A miracle was wrought in his heart. He believed in Jesus. And now he says, I think all the prerequisites for baptism are met. Now, just an aside on infant baptism, because there are many good folks in the church who believe in infant baptism. The Bible does not teach that baptism is separate from a testimony of one's faith in Christ. I'm just going to ask you to jot down a few verses here, and you'll read. These are the stories that are told of people being baptized, and every time a person believes and then is baptized. And that's the order also that is given in reference to the commands that God gives about baptism. But just jot down Acts 10, 44 through 48. Jot down Acts 16, 14 and 15. Jot down Acts 16, 30 and 34. And jot down Acts 18, 8. So let me just read one of those. Story of Lydia in Acts 16. One who heard us, Paul's talking, was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. She was like this Ethiopian who knew something of God but didn't know the good news of Jesus. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention. So there's the gospel miracle. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. There's the gospel witness. And after she was baptized in her house as well, she urged us saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, there's the gospel testimony. So she had the gospel miracle, the gospel witness, and the gospel testimony, and then she was baptized. So the preconditions to be met are simply that God's done a work, through some witness coming to us, and then our reception of that work. So now we have a story to tell of God's grace in our life. The meaning of baptism. We cannot emphasize enough that baptism is not necessary for salvation, but baptism is necessary for discipleship. In other words, God accepts us into His family without being baptized, but once we are in His family and are followers of Jesus, that baptism becomes necessary as we walk faithfully along the path of following our Lord. Baptism identifies us publicly with Jesus. Baptism testifies to the cleansing work of Christ in our lives. and baptism joins us to Jesus' church. So that's a meaning of baptism. Those three aspects are taught in the scripture, that we are identified with Jesus, we'll look at that in a moment, that we have the cleansing work, it's a washing work, and baptism is a symbol, the water of baptism is a symbol of this internal cleansing, and that we are now part of Jesus' church, God's new community. So someone asks, well, why should I be baptized? Well, what's the big deal about baptism? Once again, we cannot state enough that no one should be baptized in order to receive forgiveness of sins, in order to be saved from God's condemnation. We think of the thief on the cross. He was not baptized. He had no opportunity to be baptized. And yet Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul makes a statement. He says, for God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You notice what Paul's doing. Baptism is very important to the Apostle Paul. And yet, because in the church, some people were saying, well, if I'm baptized by Paul, then I have a higher spirituality than people who are baptized by someone else. And he says, I'm actually glad that I didn't really baptize anyone because there's division in the church over baptism. Hey, we're all baptized into Christ. It doesn't matter who the mediator, human mediator is of that baptism. And he says, I'm glad I didn't baptize very many of them because that would even cause more trouble. Because God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, keep in mind that this is the same man who said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God to salvation. So whatever is included in gospel is the full power for salvation to everyone who believes. And he's making a difference between baptism and the gospel itself. Baptism is a part of discipleship. It's a part of following Jesus. It's not part of our reception of eternal life or forgiveness of sins. So, well, why should I be baptized? Let me give you four reasons. First reason, baptism is a particular command. We are commanded by Jesus to be baptized. So, believers baptized, not man's idea. It's not a denominational ritual or a cultural custom. Believers baptism is a divine command from Jesus himself. To claim to be a follower of Jesus and not be baptized is an admission of intentional disobedience to Jesus. I know that sounds harsh, but I find no other interpretation that is viable in the reading of God's word. In Matthew 28, Jesus commands, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is the initial part of what it means to make disciples. That is a command. Peter, in his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, makes it very clear, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus. It's a command. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so those who received his word were baptized. So everyone who decided, I'm going to follow Jesus, they were baptized, Acts 2 tells us, and were added that day to the church about 3,000 souls. So it's a particular command. Why else should I be baptized? Well, it's a personal identification. We identify ourselves with Jesus through baptism. In Romans chapter 6 again, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? There's an identification. There's a union that takes place. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith. Again, all this is initiated by faith. Baptism is a picture of something that's happened already internally in the powerful working of God. So both of these passages, Colossians 2, Romans 6, speak of baptism as a publicly identifying mark that says, when we came to faith in Jesus, we were joined with Christ. We are in Christ and Christ in us. Baptism is a picture, a public picture of that identification. So water baptism, believer's baptism, symbolizes that this old life that was part of this world that's passing away is dead and gone, and our new life is completely caught up with Jesus, that he is the focal point. Our life is hidden with him now. And baptism paints a picture of that union, of that identification with Christ for all to see. Interestingly, many unbelievers understand this truth while many believers don't. Why do I say that? In some cultures where Jesus is not recognized as Lord or where his lordship is twisted, let's take Jewish Muslim religious cultures, Hindu religious cultures, and I'll even put in there liberal Christian cultures. The family of sons and daughters often, not always, but often are not disturbed if their sons and daughters attend a Bible study, attend worship services, and do everything with the worship service. They're not that concerned until that son and daughter says, I'm going to publicly be baptized. And at that point, the lid blows off. Why is that? Because that unbelieving family, whether it's, again, liberal Christianity or whether it's Jewish or Muslim or Hindu, that unbelieving family knows that that person is crossing a line of public identification. They're saying, I'm no longer part of this, and now I'm part of that. And it is a stark line that they recognize is permanent, that's hard to undo. And so they say, no, at that point, that's where oftentimes there are repercussions. So, baptism, why should we be baptized? Well, it is a very personal identification. I'm with Jesus now. Third reason, it's a public testimony. We proclaim Jesus and his gospel through baptism. Baptism is the first means by which we tell others what God has done for us and in us through his gospel, through Christ. And God does care that we publicly testify to others of his work of grace in our lives. He cares that we boast in him. He cares that we give him the credit and that we become witnesses, ambassadors for him. So why should I be baptized? It's a particular command of our Lord Jesus. It is a personal identification with Jesus that aligns us with him in a very special way. It is a public testimony. It's a means by which we tell the story and announce his saving power. And last, baptism is a proclaimed unity, a proclaimed unity. We maintain the unity of the church through baptism. This is a reason that connects us to how important the church is. God's design for his church is for followers of Jesus to join together through our faith in Jesus, and that joining is signified by a common experience that everybody inside the church has of being baptized in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit. You see, faith is internal and invisible. It's an expression of our union with Christ that's internal and invisible. Believers' baptism is external and visible, and it is through that external visible expression that the church is tied more together in love. Jesus did not design his church to be filled with some followers who are baptized and some followers who are not. Our baptism is an important part of the unity of Jesus' church. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's a passage all about the church, the whole book. There are difficulties in the church like there are in any church. Paul's concerned about unity in the church. And in chapter 4, he says, I urge you as a prisoner of the Lord to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. And he says, do so with all humility and gentleness. In other words, in all your relationships, be humble with each other and gentle with patience, bearing with one another in love. In other words, he knows that relationships in the church aren't always easy. Bearing with one another in love. And he says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then he gives a theological foundation for that real practical command of maintaining unity in the church. He says, for there's one body and one spirit. He says, think of one church, not a whole bunch of different churches, one church, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. In other words, we're all going to the same place, all going to experience the same future joy. One Lord, that's Jesus. One faith, that's the proclamation of Jesus. One baptism, one God and Father of all. Baptism, Paul is saying, is an essential means to maintain the unity of the Spirit. When a follower says, I'm following Jesus, I'm going to be part of the church, but I don't need to be baptized, what they're doing is undermining the unity of Jesus' church. When we undermine the unity of Jesus' church, we undermine the strength of that church to make disciples, to make an impact on the community, and to make disciples inside that community. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, after Peter's sermon, repent and be baptized, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day, and added to the church that day, about 3,000 souls. Baptism is the primary means by which the church is able to identify who is part of Jesus' church and who is not. The implication is that if you're not baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't really mean it. Now, that, I know that's not always so, but that's the implication that is being drawn from the scripture. Baptism is not given to individuals to decide what to do with. Baptism is given to Jesus' whole church to receive as a gift of grace to help her love God together and love one another. So, the blessings. I'll wrap this up kind of quickly. What do we expect to receive? Okay, I understand why. There's a particular command. There is a personal identification. There is a public testimony that comes that I'm excited about. And there is this means of proclaimed unity that I'm together with God's people and I'm not part of the world anymore. I'm with God's people, God's new community. That's important to me. What can we expect to receive when we are baptized? First, there is just the joy of following Jesus. Obedience carries its own pleasure. And I know for many, sometimes baptism and obedience to baptism can be difficult. I've had many people who say, I've been scared and I've put it off for 20 years. I had one woman who said, I put it off for 45 years. For 45 years, I've been following Jesus. I've known for 45 years, I need to follow him, I need to obey. I put it off and off and off. And now I'm in my late 60s, it's time. It's time. I've had many people tell me why they put it off. I've never had anyone, when I'm raising up out of the waters of baptism with this, I hate this. I wish I didn't do this. Why did you talk me into it? I've never had that happen once. Okay. There's just simply joy in obeying Jesus, all right? There's just simply joy. That's the first blessing. Secondly, there's the joy of sharing Jesus with others. Years ago, there was a TV commercial featuring a Mercedes-Benz crashing into a wall during a safety test. Afterwards, the interviewer asked the company spokesman why Mercedes doesn't enforce patents on the safety design features of their car. Evidently, Mercedes patented designs are used on many different kinds of cars to help save lives. And they say, why do you do that? It's your patent. You could control it. Why do you just open it up, allow anybody to use it? And here's the commercial. It's great. He says, because some things are too important not to share. That's a great line for the Christian. There are some things that are simply too important not to share. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, baptism is the first opportunity to have the joy of sharing the most important truth in all the world. Third blessing, baptism provides the joy of holding fast to Jesus. So the life of a follower can expect to undergo spiritual siege, to be attacked by the enemy, to root out faith, to create unbelief, to disconnect us from Jesus. Baptism is a significant means God uses to root us in Jesus when Satan attacks us. It's right for us to look back at our baptism. We say, well, I don't know, boy, I'm really struggling with faith or with belief. Look back at the baptism and say, oh, I knew what happened back then. So, in marital counseling, it's not uncommon when a couple's struggling, and maybe they've been married 20 years, and they're struggling, they don't like each other anymore, and one or both of them will say, yeah, I don't think I ever loved him. I don't think I ever loved her. And it's sort of a way to get out of holding on to the commitment. And, you know, I'm often tempted to say, hey, could you bring me next time your wedding photos? Because I'm pretty sure that if I look at those wedding poems, it doesn't look like you're having a bad day. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like anybody is forcing you to be there. But what happens is over time, people forget. And that wedding day, it actually helps us. It's good for y'all, as married couples, to look at your wedding album. Remember that joy? Yeah, that's good. That's strengthening. Especially if you have, remember, hey, I know there was a time I loved that woman, I loved that man, we were committed to each other, and we want to be committed to each other. The issue is something changed in me, right? The issue is not what's real. What I'm being tempted with is what's not real. So baptism experiences the joy of helping us hold fast to Jesus. Last, Baptism brings the blessing of joy of strengthening Jesus' church. Our witness is dependent upon us being followers of Jesus, and because baptism is the very first command, it depends upon us being a baptized group of followers of Jesus. A church full of unbaptized believers will always be a weak church. That church is not a church that is serious about following Jesus. It takes him too casually. When we obey this first command of Jesus, we participate in creating a community that is committed to following Jesus. We set a standard that following Jesus means obedience. It means actually following him. When we ignore this first command, we participate in creating a community that is casual about following Jesus. So let me ask you, first, are you a follower of Jesus? If you're not a follower of Jesus, consider Christ, who he is. Ask God to open your eyes to see him for who he is, because if you could see him for who he is, I will guarantee you will run to him with joy, because he is the treasure. He does offer life. You will do exactly what this Ethiopian did in the chariot. He's everything to me. Are you a follower of Jesus? First, most important, basic question of all life. Secondly, if you're a follower of Jesus, what's your next step? If you've not been baptized, I know what the next step is. It's baptism. That's what Scripture says. If you've been baptized, well, there might be a lot of different answers to that. But still, ask the question. I know my following Jesus is a process, a day-by-day process of step-by-step walking with him in obedience. What would he have me to do to follow him? And last, ask the question, Lord, how would you have me to help others follow Jesus? In relationship to baptism, I would encourage you to tell your own baptism story, regardless of how dramatic or not it is. Just tell, hey, this is what happened when I was baptized, and ask other believers what their baptism story is. I think that's one of the most strengthening things we can do to build faith with each other. I know it doesn't happen that often, but just go on a limb and say, hey, I'm interested. Tell me your baptism story. Here's what happened with mine. Here's what God's done then and what he's done since. May God be glorified in his church.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
We trust this message today on baptism has been encouragement to you. God in his word gives us all these commands for our blessing, not to bring about a life that is sad, a life that's isolated, a life that's hard and burdened. But God's commands are all paths to life and to joy, and this command to be baptized is one of them. If you've been listening today as a believer in Jesus and you have not been baptized as a believer, my encouragement to you would be to go to the leaders of your local church and have a conversation with them about that. Let them know that you have not been baptized as a believer and that you'd like to be, and talk to them about your desire to follow Jesus. I believe your pastor or the elders of your church will just be overjoyed at such a conversation. You know, baptism is a ceremony or a rite that is made within the context of the local church. It connects us to other believers as we join together as followers of Christ, confessing him publicly. And so, won't you take that step? Reach out to leaders in your church, maybe your pastor or an elder, and talk to them about the subject of baptism. You'll be blessed.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.